It is time now for another edition of your Tuesday Film Sports Line on WMIC AM 660, 95.3 FM. I'm Eddie Fury. Later, joining me from the Sandlot County News sports writer reporter, Mike Gallagher, will be joining us. And at least one of the Film Sports Writers Media Association's writers or members will be joining us as well. We'll see. It looks like our players of the week for volleyball, eight-player football, and high school football has been posted. And just posted by the Film Sports Writers Association. We'll talk about that. Go through some week two recap scores and a recap of the games. Looking ahead to week three as well. And other sports notes, whether it be cross country, volleyball, or other sports to make note of. We'll go through that. Week one of the National Football League is in the books as well as of last night. Fantasy football-wise, I got two leagues. One of them, I won. The other, I lost. So, one of them didn't have a good draft because, I guess this draft had to happen during Labor Day weekend on a Sunday. What's up with that? Not a great team, but decent enough, and I was competitive enough. Could not pull out the win, though. Got too many holdouts for their contracts, even though they're under contract. So, yeah. Otherwise, Detroit Lions, Sunday night, comeback win in overtime. I'll take it, although there are a lot of mistakes, as you heard on the Happy Hour show here on WMIC AM 660. Starts at 5:30 p.m., by the way, Mondays and Fridays. They talk football now that football is in its full run and display. Happy campers for all those football junkies out there. Our game of the week, might as well promote that. Week three, approaching Friday night. We'll be visiting Croswell-Lexington as they host the Richmond Blue Devils this coming Friday night, 6:30 p.m. approximate start on WBGV, 92.5 FM. It's where we broadcast our high school football games. Last week, I want to thank Jeremy Burgess, who joined me along with Libby the intern, Libby Tank, keeping stats and chiming in as well, coming on air. And first time all coming together to work as a team to present the football broadcast. And it went great. I thought it was pretty good for the first try with all three of us together. And good game too. High scoring game. We'll talk about the game that we had covered in week two where the Marlette Red Raiders won over Sandusky in a high scoring affair, 54-44. Got the stat report on that we had kept, or that Libby had kept track of. We'll talk about that game. And look ahead for Marlette. Sandusky, though, right down the hole at 0-2. There's another team, surprisingly, in the hole, but they scheduled tough competition in the start of the season. Talking about the Ubley Bearcats, they're 0-2. But the teams they took on, though, pretty good teams. We'll talk about that. See if the pitchforks are out yet. Yeah. All right, so we'll go through some recapping of week two scores and then the week three schedule. And then, of course, we'll take our breaks and get ready for that 6 o'clock news and come back and really dive into the week two recaps. And, of course, when we come back, at least in this hour, I'll have the Thumb Sports Writers Association Players of the Week and why they were chosen. I make nominations, and I made a nomination for Marlette, so yeah. But I digress. My nomination did not win, but the player that was picked, pretty good. You know, I'll give him that. So we'll have that coming back here on WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM. It is the Tuesday Thumb Sports Line. We'll be right back and go through the week two scores here on WMIC. So stick around.
Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes 6 loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck.
Denny King, the King of Cars, here with more Motors in Carroll. If you're looking to get a no-nonsense deal on a new Ford, Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, or Jeep, you need to come see me, Denny King, the King of Cars, and more motor sales in Carroll.
Denny King, the King of Cars.
Here at More Motors of Carroll, we give fair trade-in value and transparent pricing.
Denny King, the King of Cars.
Whether you're looking for a new car, truck, or SUV, I'm proud to offer the best deal possible for every customer who comes through our doors. No games, no gimmicks, just the facts and the real deal. Here at More Motor Sales in Carroll.
Denny King, the King of Cars.
Don't waste your time showing up to other dealers who offer unrealistic deals and false promises. Come see me, Denny King, the King of Cars, at More Motor Sales of Carroll.
Denny King, the King of Cars.
I'm Denny King, the King of Cars. I earned my title by taking care of every one of my customers here at More Motors and for the last 30 years. So come see me, Denny King, and see why your friends and neighbors are driving to Carroll.
Welcome back to Tuesday Thumb Sports Line. Eddie Fury of you. Go through the Week 2 high school football games and scores, which actually you can check for yourself, but I'm going to rip it off here. And usually I try to do this on Friday nights when I get back from a game and update the website and list of games. The Week 3 list will be put up by tomorrow, along with this replay of our Thumb Sports Line, the podcast replay. All right, Week 2 scores, our game of the week. Had Marlette defeat Sandusky 54-44. Marlette moves to 2-0. Sandusky falls to 0-2. Big Thumb Conference scores. Unionville Seaboying. Patriots shut out the Carroll Tigers 36-0. Cass City Redhawks defeating Hemlock 45-13. Cass City moves to 1-1. The Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers defeat the Vassar Vulcans 41-7. The Reese Rockets, mini upset maybe, they defeat the Waterford Our Lady of the Lakes 14-9. The Millington Cardinals defeating Shepherd 54-0. A lot of hooping talk on this one, hoopla. Armada Tigers defeating the Croswell-Lexington Pioneers 14-0. We'll be at Croswell-Lexington and see if they can bounce back as they take on and host the Richmond Blue Devils. Speaking of the Richmond Blue Devils, they defeat Yale Bulldogs 28-14. A lot of turnovers in that game. We'll talk about that. The North Branch Broncos continue to trample their opponents through the first 2 weeks. Have not allowed a score. North Branch defeats the Algonac Muskrats 56-0. The Elmont Raiders, they give up 15 points, but they still win over Emily City 45-15. Saturday afternoon game, it was the Harbor Beach Pirates defeating Marine City Carter Mooney 61-0 at East China Stadium on a Saturday afternoon. Clarkston Everest, the Mountaineers,
yes,
defeating Ubley, yes, 21-14. Ubley falls to 0-2. We'll talk about that. High school 8-player football, week 2 scores. Deckerville defeating Dryden Cardinals 68-20 on a Thursday. Brown City defeating Memphis 56-12. The Kingston Cardinals defeating KPAC Chiefs 58-20. It was Mayville defeating Auburn Hills Oakland Christian in a pretty competitive game there, 32-26 in that one. Ashley gets by Carsonville Port Saint. Like I thought this one, CPS might be able to get a win, but Ashley wins 22-18. The Peck Pirates over New Haven Merritt Mustangs 50-20. North Huron Warriors take down the Akron Fargo Vikings. No Horn this week again, 46-0. The Bay City All Saints defeats Caseville, shutting them out 62-0. That's your week 2 scores. And coaches and teams, please send any stats, results, and other information to Sand Lake Broadcasting via email to eddief@sandlakebroadcasting.com or to our Facebook Messenger page or at Sand Lake Broadcasting Radio at gmail.com. All right, that's your week 2 scores. And looking ahead to week 3, we'll talk about that soon. So, yeah. Take another break here. Be back with the one and only Mike Aller just walking in. I think he's christening the brand new office chair here. That just asked Nick Lean, did we get new chairs? We did. We'll be right back here after a quick break, folks. It is Thumb Sports Line.
All across the Thumb and Blue Water area, there's one propane supplier that's ready to serve you. It's Kohler Propane, with locations in Brown City, Memphis, and Bad Axe. Kohler Propane, where they strive to keep your fuel bill down and provide you with the best possible service. They guarantee their propane prices for one full year. There's free tank inspection and free safety inspection, plus keep full and budget plans are available. If you are not a current Kohler customer, now's the time to make the switch and call Kohler's. Whether it's propane for your home's heating system or for your farm or business, they're ready to serve you. Remember, Kohler's covers the entire Thumb and Blue Water area. For information, call toll-free 800-572-2191. That's 800-572-2191. Or visit getkohlers.com. Remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
Game time is here, and EBS Broadband and Thumb Cellular are proud sponsors of Sanilac Broadcasting's high school sports coverage. They're local, family-owned businesses dedicated to keeping you connected, whether you're at home or on the move. Need smoother, faster internet? EBS Broadband has you covered. From work to gaming to streaming your favorite shows, EBS Broadband powers it all. Switch today and feel the difference that's built for everything you do. And for staying connected wherever you go, Thumb Cellular is your go-to cellular provider. With friendly service, top-notch devices, and coverage you can count on, Thumb Cellular has an unlimited plan to suit your needs. And it won't break the bank. Want to save even more? Combine EBS Broadband with Thumb Cellular for a great partner services discount. Now sit back and enjoy the game. And good luck to all of the athletes in tonight's game.
Yeah, you're on, man.
All right.
I had to make sure because I always have you on mute, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, this new chair's got me all thrown off, too.
I know. New chair. In the new chair is Sand Lake County.
This is lovely.
Sports writer Mike Gallagher. The actual host of Thumb Sports Line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How you doing, man?
Not bad. How are you?
Good, good, good. You know, still kind of worn out, but, you know.
That was a long game on Friday, huh?
Yeah. Man, 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah.
Near 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you're running the double wing, which was pretty effective.
Yes.
But they're passing out of that.
Yep.
And I saw three different offensive formations. We're talking about Marlette Sandusky game, folks.
Mm-hmm. We couldn't wait. We had to just get right into it. Yeah.
But we'll get to that. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. First of all, you were there at that game that we were at as well. So
fantastic game.
Yeah, yeah. High scoring affair. And yeah. Turnovers can cost you, and it did cost Sandusky in this.
They did, yeah. So. They also benefited Sandusky a few times.
Yeah.
But really, we saw a lot of great things out of both teams. So that was, you know, you don't want to see either team lose, but, you know, at least we got to see both teams do a lot of really good things. Yeah. So
and I think hopefully we'll improve, you know, week 2. So,
yep.
All right. So let's get into some other sports before we dive headstrong into high school football. Anything news out of volleyball this week?
Well,
or from last week?
The Big Thumb Conference play begins this week. It starts tonight, actually.
Okay.
So,
what's the big matchup tonight?
So not anything too huge tonight. Yeah. I'd actually kind of defer to the BWAC tonight. Croslex and Yale play tonight.
Okay.
So that's a big one for Croslex. Got to have it. because, you know, BWAC is pretty tough this year.
Yeah.
But
so, there's a team called North Branch is pretty good out there.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, state champion. Yeah.
So in the latest state volleyball rankings, there's actually three BWAC teams ranked in Division III, Imlay City, North Branch, or sorry, not Division III, Division II.
Yeah.
North Branch, Imlay City, and Richmond. So
it's going to be
tough sledding in the BWAC this year.
Is it pretty competitive, or are we going to find out here soon?
Oh, yeah. No, it's competitive. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, usually it's just, you know, two, three teams and then the rest.
Right. Yeah. Usually it's North Branch. I mean, not usually. We can say every single year it's North Branch and then everybody else because North Branch has never lost in the BWAC. But, you know, the gap keeps, it seems like it's getting a little bit smaller every year, but we'll see. But no, the big match for the Big Thumb will be Thursday night, Brown City and Ubley, two of the preseason favorites in their division. So, yeah. And
last week, I heard there was a big win for Dackerville.
There was, yeah, Dackerville.
For the Big Thumb, win over Harbor Beach.
Yes, yep.
Libby the intern made sure I knew that.
Of course, yeah. So. No, Dackerville actually went 2-0 last week. They beat Carsonville Port Sanilac as well, so.
That would be the former NCTL league, right? So they're known as the Big Thumb Conference.
The Big Thumb. Yeah. And, you know, with the football conferences, there's a few differences. With volleyball, the divisions have different names, but the teams and the divisions that they're in are exactly the same. The only difference being that Millington is in the white division, or it's going to take me a second to get used to the division names, but basically Millington has been added to the Greater Thumb West division. So, but otherwise, all the divisions have the same teams. It'll be the same matchups. Brown City, Ubley, you know, two of the preseason favorites in their division. That division being, you know, the former Greater Thumb East, where Marlette is the two-time defending champs. But as we saw last year, Brown City, you know, handed them their first loss in two seasons. You know, Brown City's been playing some pretty good volleyball so far this year. So, and then Ubley, you know, Ubley's always great. And, you know, so that match on Thursday is really going to tell us a lot about that division.
Yeah, I see Dackerville will start their league play September 12th on the road at Kingston.
Against the defending champs.
Kingston, yeah. That would be a home game.
Okay.
And then they will play Sandusky tonight at home.
Nice.
So for Dackerville. And good win against Harbor Beach, 26-24, 25-20, 25-20. Close there, but still, yeah, good win, you know, for them. So that's their schedule this week. Looking at Sandusky, who will be at Dackerville, they'll have Memphis this week as well. These are Tuesday and Thursday games, by the way. You talked about Marlette for girls volleyball. Make sure, man, they played a lot already under the belt. They were at Millington last week. And lost that in two straight sets. I guess still some of these are only...
these would be quads, yeah.
Quads, yeah.
Are you on the Big Thumb?
I'm looking at the MHSA.
Oh, the MHSA. Yeah. Okay. No, Marlette actually hosted a quad on last Wednesday night. Yep. That was with Marlette, Millington, Mayville, and Cross Lex. So for those, they're usually just three sets.
Yeah, and then tonight Marlette has KPAC, and they're at Harbor Beach this week. And Marlette's a team that got beat by Peck.
Right. Yes, yeah, that was a big win for Peck. Yeah, and speaking of the Pirates, they went to the SC4 Showcase this past Saturday, and they were the winners of the silver bracket. They were 0-2 in pool play, but they hung with Port Huron Northern, which, you know, that's a Class A school. Once they got into the silver bracket play, they beat Dearborn, Annapolis, I believe, and then they beat Harbor Beach in the finals. So, good stuff from the Pirates so far this season.
Yeah, and who else do they got this week? Well, let me see. Peck will be playing this week, tonight, at home against Caseville, and then they'll have North Huron on Thursday as well. Next week, anticipated matchup, Or, yeah, next one could be at Deckerville for Peck at Deckerville. So that's a pretty highly anticipated matchup, formerly known as the NCTL, but the Big Thumb.
Right.
So, yeah. So I'm looking forward to that one. That would fall on the 17th. So being a Tuesday, of course, we'll be here.
Yeah.
You might not be here.
I might not be here.
Yeah, you,
night,
have,
no.
you might have to do
I
that
I might
game.
Have to go to that one, yeah.
So, and that would start at 7 o'clock, so maybe we'll have to do sports line there. Who knows?
Hey, it's not a bad idea, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so that is volleyball. Cross country, anything to know?
Cross country, there was a pretty big performance at the Algonac Muskrat Classic run. It's a huge race that was this past weekend. Connor Pepin from Croslex, he's a sophomore.
Yeah.
He was the runner-up in the boys' race. So that's pretty impressive. And then, of course, Eva Thompson takes first place again. She is undefeated still on the season. She has taken first place in all of her races. But her teammate, Bryn Hurley, was third in the girls' race. So that was great to see as well. So
I know there is a invite this week, the Reese High School invite, and that will be tomorrow, Wednesday.
Perfect.
Yeah, so I don't know what teams are involved in that one. Usually if you click on theathletic.net, you'll see that as well. So any other meets happening this week that you know of?
Not off the top of my head right now. Okay. I knew of the Reese one. That one's a little bit out of my jurisdiction, but
Well, some teams from here, you know, will go over there.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Yeah.
And sometimes it's not the same size or division. They just want to run. You know, they want to get, you know, when they get some cross country running in there.
Yeah.
Instead of just practicing and running around in the main roads and cars are dodging them because they're focused. So, So that's what I see right now for Reese Invitational. So, but of course, the big one coming up here, September 28th, Wagner Park invite.
Yep.
So that's a big one. And Mrs. Ferry's looking forward to it.
Did she get you a campsite or no?
There isn't any.
No, there isn't any.
There isn't any now.
I was wondering if you were able to pull any strings or anything.
I could.
Yeah, well.
I could. She said, why don't you just, she told me that. Why don't you name drop?
Right.
I said, I don't do that.
That's right up in your wheelhouse.
You don't do that for concerts.
Yeah.
Well, that's a concert. This is a campsite. You know?
Right.
I just kept barging in there. Hey, I'm camping here because I'm Eddie Fury.
Right. Don't you listen to the Morning Fury?
The only place that campsite would probably camp me out was right next to the Porta Johns or something.
Yeah.
Right behind it.
They'll put you right on the beach. How about that?
Yeah. And the guy that across the road from us, man, he blew that one up. So So, that thing was glowing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you couldn't even smoke around that one. That one exploded. So, all right. Don't smoke, kids. All right. So, Wagner Park, I'm really looking for that.
Yeah,
it's a nice race. So, and we're looking at some really great weather, warm weather coming up, too.
Hey,
so.
It's always great up there, yeah.
All right. We'll be back, folks. We've got the top of the hour news coming your way, and we'll be back with some football talk now that we review that. Yes.
7 o'clock hour. Marlette head football coach Denny Lester.
I was going to try to get hold of him, and you got him. That's great. All right.
Got him.
Great.
Your source for local news, up-to-the-minute weather, and so much more. This is AM 660, WMIC Sandusky, and 95.3 FM.
Welcome back to Thumb Sportsline on a Tuesday on WMIC AM 660, 95.3 FM. I should have made a Facebook post. Do you think people know that we're on Tuesdays now or not?
Probably not, no.
Okay.
They're probably just mad every time they tune in on Monday and we're not on.
I made a post on it.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back. Mike Gallagher, St. Lake County News sports writer. What's on the front page this week in the St. Lake County News? Comes out tomorrow.
Marlette Sandusky, we've got Marlette Sandusky. We've got a write-up about, as we talked about in the opener, conference play beginning for volleyball. And then we have a couple stories about the local tennis teams. Sandusky defeated Macomb Dakota last week. Macomb Dakota is a Division I school. I believe their enrollment is over 2,000. I thought that was kind of neat that, in the grand scheme of things, you know, Sandusky, as far as tennis programs go, they're one of the smaller ones in the state. So they continue to be extremely successful. And then Croslex Tennis starts 2-0 in the BWAC. So that's kind of cool. They'll be going for, I mean, they're in the race for a conference title right now. They still have Armada and Almont. Armada was the BWAC champions last season in tennis. So still got some tough ones ahead of them, but they're off to a 2-0 start. And then Sandusky Girls Golf, they set the a small disclaimer for those that don't know. This is only the second year of Sandusky Girls Golf, but they did set the program record for the lowest 18-hole score, which last season they were regional champions. So they were very successful last season, and it seems like they're picking up right where they left off. So
I think I know where to go for lessons now.
Yeah.
I really needed them last Thursday, so yeah.
I don't know if anyone can help you, man.
It's fun, though.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. If you can deal with the disappointment and depression.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Wow.
Let's dive into high school football.
How bad is your golf game?
it was going great until one hole. It's just that one hole.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right, let's get into the Big Thumb Conference. The Unionville Sebring Patriots defeating and shutting out Carroll Tigers. Brady Green, 137 yards rushing for USA and a touchdown for the Patriots. Seven tackles on defense, also playing both sides of the ball. Bryson Finkbeiner. A rush for 36 yards, two touchdowns, and 3 2-point conversions. Davis Peters throwing for 50 yards and a touchdown, also rushing for a touchdown. On defense, got an interception. Reed Vermeersch caught a pass for 5 yards and a touchdown as well. Carson Dixon caught a pass, 26 yards. Ryan Wiederhold made six tackles, one sack, and forced and recovered a fumble on defense. For the Unionville Sebring Patriots, defeat Carroll 36-0. Carroll falls to 0-2. USA moves to 1-1 even. So good win for USA. That's a program that's on the brink of not being able to field the team sometimes, but it's good that they're out there this year. So.
I think they're always a competitive program, though. Yeah. I think Coach Hahn does a great job up there. And, you know, they're always going to win the games they're supposed to win. And we'll see if, you know, that's some very encouraging stuff that we saw from the Carroll game. So,
yeah, and they play in the Big Thumb Black Division. So up next for Unionville Sebring, they'll have what we believe is a pretty good, tough offensively Marlette team. But they play pretty, you know, they did give up 44 points to Sandusky. So
I think that might be something that Denny might want to talk about, the defensive performance.
I think it's something he hates to talk about every year of us. So, yeah.
I think that has a lot to do with what Sandusky did. I think I thought Sandusky did a lot of nice things offensively. But, again, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Okay, so that was USA with a win over Carroll Tigers. And Carroll falls to 0-2. And in week three, I don't know if they have a game or not, that we're supposed to play Bad X. So who's on the line with us right now?
It is me, Scotty B.
And he'll have an answer for your question.
Yes. Who does the Carroll Tigers have? Scott Bowlesby of the Tuscola County Advertiser.
Talk about perfect timing.
Well, I saw Carroll Michigan flash, and I go, you know what? I bet it's our third string co-host.
Oh, well, now he's not going to call in anymore if you call him that. Jeez.
Hey, he's glad he could get on the field. So he's on the air.
Absolutely,
so, yeah.
At this age.
Yeah. So who do they have a week three opponent?
They do not. Nope, they have the week off. They kind of, from what I understand, is they tried real hard that first week and kind of came up empty-handed. And, you know, never were able to find anybody. I think the closest they came was playing a team like Muskegon, which I don't think that would do anybody any good.
No.
Especially with the trip. It was just probably better off. They just took the bye, and so they'll have week number three off.
So they'll have 2 weeks to prepare for who, Eddie? Who do they have in week four?
They will have Lakers in week four.
Okay.
They also have the pleasure of playing Millington as well in week five.
Okay.
So,
well, you got 2 weeks to prepare for Lakers now, so that you know, maybe that'll benefit them.
Yeah. Okay.
I hope so.
Yeah, speaking of Lakers, Carson McCain rushing for 174 yards, two touchdowns for the Lakers. threw for 30 yards, two 2-point conversions. Colton Tulaski rushing for 170 yards, three touchdowns, also made a catch for 29 yards, made two tackles in defense. Matt Murdock, no, we're not talking about Daredevil, rushed for 21 yards and two-point conversion. Ben Lavasser rushing for 18 yards and a touchdown, also threw for 18 yards. Derek Carr made two catches for 10 yards and a two-point conversion for the Lakers. They moved to 1-1. We'll next host Cass City this week. I do believe that's going to be on Thumbchugger Sports. Game is this coming Friday night. For the Vassar Vulcans, Scotty, not much they could do against this Laker defense, man.
No. No, they had one touchdown. Gorlewski connected with, oh, man, I can't remember who it was off the top of my head. I had it right here. Hang on 1 second, guys. It was Blake Carr caught a 61-yard touchdown reception from Maddox Gorlewski late in the game. Or no, it was in the second quarter. I apologize. Yeah, from what I heard, our new sports writer at the Advertiser helping me out, Aaron Lee, he was over there checking it out. He said, you know, Vassar's got the parts. It just could not put it all together. Their line, you know, he felt was undersized, which against Laker, most of the time that the kids that they bring out of there, anybody is undersized on the line. But he just said that they dealt with some, you know, issues at the line, you know, just trying to, with the quarterback pressures and the rushing, not a ton of help for them as far as that goes. But, you know, it's tough. And, you know, this coming week, they got a big game coming up against Reese. Reese coming off a big win against Waterford, Our Lady. Vassar coming off the loss. You know, so they're going to be, you know, ready to go. And I think it's going to be a good battle between those two teams.
Yeah, Reese, close win over Waterford, Our Lady Lakes, 14-9. Waterford, Our Lady, sounds like they elected to be kicking field goals against Reese in this game.
Yeah, that was all that they could muster, and Reese was able to score with under 2 minutes left to go. They got a big sack late in the game I don't know where it was, right in the 1 minute mark somewhere in there. They got a big sack, and then a fourth and country mile in the next play, they got a big interception to end the game. So Reese was able to escape. Out of Pontiac is where they played their games at. They were able to escape and get the victory against Waterford Our Lady, and you know, go 1-1 on the season after that thumping in week number one against Millington. So nothing feels better than you know, after getting a big whooping, I guess, against Millington in week one. Nothing feels better than going down and stealing one on the road. So Coach Kerry Messing and the Reese Rockets getting in the win column, and like I said, getting ready for that big rivalry game.
So speaking of Millington, the player of the week has been picked for week two. It's Millington running back Dallas Walsh, a historic game. Senior carrying the ball nine times for 187 yards, three touchdowns. The performance put him over 2,000 career rushing yards, and he's been named the Thumb Sports Writers Association's 11 player of the week. Millington earned it by beating a Shepherd, and they just demolished him. The final score on that one was 54-0. It was against Shepherd. Are they a decent team traditionally or not?
They're not terrible, but they're also not great. I think they're right in the middle of the road. I don't think they make the playoffs too much from what I've looked at and remember. I guess I was expecting more of a game. Actually, you know, Reese, after the week one game against Reese, I said, you know, this might test Millington a little bit more. So it was interesting to see the scores start rolling in and Christian Zalek updating us and saying, you know, 70-yard touchdown run, 70-yard touchdown run. And then Quinnell Tanner busted off a 93-yard or 90-yard touchdown run, which is the fourth longest in Millington history. So he had a big, just one run and for a touchdown. I mean, he made it count. And it's just really impressive what Landon Russell and Dallas Walsh have been doing in the backfield this year. Just the yin and the yang. I mean, they've been feeding off each other. And I mean, it's just a two-headed monster back there. The line's playing amazing. Chuck Turbush is playing phenomenal. You know, now they start the conference start of it, and they go towards the thumb, where they like to play that ground and pound physical form of football. We saw what happened last year against Cass City with that physical style of football. So interested to see what Sandusky can bring to the table this week. And then, you know, then we go on beyond that. And I know they get Carroll, but they also have Cassidy in there. So, and they have Laker as well. So it's going to be interesting to see Millington get into that thumb style and see if they can continue running the way that they have been and kind of manhandling defenses in the first 2 weeks.
When will you get to see Millington again yourself?
It's going to be late in the season for me. Mm-hmm. I usually try to push it off until, it would have been the Standish Sterling game, but they are now in this conference. So I have it marked down right now to have them at home against Laker. What I was going to have. I originally had it week 9 against Birch Run because that's always a good rivalry, but I don't know if I can go that long without seeing one of the best teams in the area. So as of now, it's Laker, but I know JB was mentioning he wanted to see Millington Cassidy, so I know he's kind of mentioned that he wanted to go to that one, and so I backed off that one. So I'm kind of feeling it out, seeing where I'm going to end up, but as of right now, Millington Laker is kind of circled on my calendar because, I don't know, I think it's going to eventually turn into a very good rivalry between those two teams.
Yeah, speaking of Cassidy, they get the win over Hemlock, 45-13. Riker Wallace, 150 yards and a touchdown and 4 2-point conversions for the Red Hawks. Also a playing defense, 4 tackles, 3 assists. Will Perry rushing for 90 yards and 3 touchdowns. Also, this is your 1-2 punch right there. Made 2 tackles on defense. Jackson Anthony, 56 yards and a touchdown. Braxton Kolatz, how do you say his last name?
Kolatz,
12 yards and a touchdowns. For the Red Hawks, who improved to 1-1 after their week 1 close loss to Harbor Beach. Now they're taking on Lakers. Yeah. That game is this Friday night. Cassidy, you know, everybody thought he might take a slight step back, but they're moving forward quite well there with this rushing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm alone thinking that going into Hemlock week 2, we were kind of wondering what to expect. I kind of talked to one of their coaches on over the week last week, kind of said, you know, what do you feel about Hemlock? He says they do pose a problem, but you know, it's nothing we haven't seen already and we haven't seen before in the past. And, you know, but, man, they continue to do what they do best, and that's run the ball. I mean, they ran the ball 56 times the other night. They didn't attempt one pass. So they're using that Cassidy mindset, the Cassidy offense that we've, you know, grown to love, known, and, you know, go out there and just pound the ball and pick up those yards. But, you know, Riker Wallace, you know, I've been hearing about it since he was a freshman, sophomore last year. I heard about it. Hey, watch out for this kid. He's going to be very special. He had a big game. Will Perry, obviously falling in the footsteps of that Perry name.
Nick Perry? Getting those... Is that true? Nick what? Perry?
Nick Perry, yep. His dad, Troy Perry, is very involved over there. We call him Pizza Perry because he always brings pizza to us. So I want to thank him for that. You know, 11 attempts, 90 yards, and 3 touchdowns. So getting those, I'm sure, grinded out those yards and use them as a goal line back, I'd imagine. But just a impressive game for me, in my opinion, for Cassidy. Coming off that heartbreaker against Harbor Beach, putting all the pieces back together and going into Hemlock and getting the victory. I mean, that's impressive to me. I for what we thought going into this season with Cassidy, we thought they were going to take a step back. Even talking to some of the kids that graduated, they said, I don't know what they're going to do at this position. I don't know what they're going to do at this position. And they've really kind of quieted the doubters once again, and that's what they do best. And it's going to be a big game this coming Friday night. So, Tailgater picked a good one there because I think that's going to be a good battle between those two squads. And, I mean, come on, it's the rivalry, Laker, Cassidy, no love lost there. So, yeah, that should be a fun one.
All right, that's Cassidy against Lakers and week 3. So looking forward to hear about that game. We're going to take a break and check in with the weather forecast. John McMurray, we'll be right back here. I do believe we're going to try to add JB to the mix because we got to talk about Ubley, the Harbor Beach wins as well here on Thumb Sports Line on Tuesday. Scott Bowlesby with us also from the Tuscola County Advertiser. Mike Gallagher's over there just taking a nap, right?
Hey, it sounds like Scott's got it covered. And
he does. Yeah.
He might be making the move up to second string.
Oh, no.
We'll see. I don't, it's pretty close. I mean, I'm riding fourth string right now. Right. So I'm pretty much the water boy. Right. I got to get that H2O out there, you know? So, yeah. All right, we'll be right back. We'll check in the weather forecast here. It is Thumb Sports Line.
Is proud to sell and service the John Deere side-by-side Gator utility vehicles. The John Deere Gator UTV is second to none. Whether it's a traditional Gator side-by-side for work or a crossover vehicle for play, a Gator UTV can see everyone in comfort. Backed by a history of reliability, this engine was made to take on trails and serious payloads as you make the most of your lands. So take a seat, stretch your legs, and get comfortable because the fun has only begun. The knowledge team at Tri-County Equipment can help you choose the Gator UTV that is the best option for your budget and needs. So stop in today at Tri-County Equipment. With 11 locations serving you in Sandusky, Marlette, Bad Axe, Carroll, Burton, Lapeer, Fenton, Saginaw, Birch Run, Reese, and Auburn Hills. See more on the website, tricountyequipment.net. Tri-County.
Your friends at Liberty Lane say, come on down and join our team.
Let's go bowling!
Register now for a fall bowling league. There are openings on ladies' leagues for Wednesday morning and evening, men's leagues on Tuesday and Wednesday evenings, and mixed leagues on Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday evenings. Beginners are welcome. Just stop in or call 810-648-9860. Also openings on the waitstaff, so apply now.
Let's go bowling!
Liberty Lanes, West Park, Sandusky. The Thumb Area's top choice for great bowling for 45 years.
All right, welcome back to Thumb Sports Line on WMIC, AM 660, 95.3 FM. With us on the phone now is Jonathan Bisher. How you doing, man?
Good, how's it going?
Great. What are you doing? Are you outside? Are you still driving?
Do you have us on speakerphone? Because that'd be rude.
You guys are on speakerphone, but You're on, like, hand-free speakerphone.
Okay.
Okay.
You sound like you're a little far away from us.
Yeah.
So I need to move closer. Is that better?
There you go.
Yeah, you need a little bit closer. Are you in a tractor?
There you go. You caught on now.
I could hear the sound. What kind of tractor are you driving, first of all?
Quad track, KTI 8 470.
Okay, you know Tri-Can Equipment is one of our sponsors, so
this,
watch it.
This is the stuff that our listeners actually really want to hear about.
Yes.
you wouldn't be from Santa County if you didn't want to hear about this.
Right.
All right. So we'll try to decipher what you're saying.
Eddie, you got to go over to CNC Equipment and get them as a sponsor. That's where this tractor came from.
Easy there. Okay. All right. Let's talk about Harbor Beach getting the big win on Saturday, beating Marine City Carter Mooney. Three touchdowns by Benson Harper, wide receiver, running back, safety. Benson Harper, anything he can do. 63 yards
punt
and a
touchdown.
What's that?
Punt returner.
Punt returner.
That's what he was Saturday.
61-0 is the final score for Harbor Beach. They go to 2-0. 63 yards rushing and a touchdown for the Pirates. Returned two punts for touchdowns. And had an interception on defense. Drew Nickrand ran for 52 yards and two touchdowns. Rogan Messing, 44 yards and two touchdowns for the Pirates. And also Dustin Emmerich, 21 yards, two touchdowns for the Pirates, who moved to 2-0. And now the backyard brawl. But let's talk about the Ubbly Bearcats. They fought a 0-2 against another tough team. Luke Vollmer rushing for 77 yards and a touchdown for the Bearcats. Had a two-point conversion, made seven tackles, three assists on defense. Colton Oswell, 42 yards and a touchdown. Colin Ozentoski rushing for 41 yards. TJ Barnes rushing for 3 yards, but he also threw for 37 yards. Devin Geiger catching a pass for 37 yards for the Ubbly Bearcats. They lose to Clarkson Everest Collegiate, 21-14, falling to 0-2. JB, is it time to panic?
No, I don't think quite yet. It's getting close, though. This is going to be a big week for Ubbly. Of course, it's a backyard brawl. But, of course, everybody knows you play your best against your rivals. And I think we're going to see the best of Ubbly come Friday night. And I think they're ready to test Harbor Beach. Now, Harbor Beach 2-0 on paper, they look pretty dang good. But that Cardinal Mooney isn't as good as what we're normally accustomed to, and Clark's ever cleaned it might be better than a lot of people are giving credit for. Go look at their week one win. That is a very good week one win. So I think Upley just ran into another very good team in week two there in Everett Collegiate. I think they're still trying to find themselves. They're only returning four starters on offense, one running back, and three offensive linemen. I think they're feeling themselves out. They're trying to figure out who they are this year, find the identity of what version of the ground and pound game they're going to be in Upley on. I don't think the panic button's there, but I think the cover off the panic button is lifted and the hand covering over top of it.
Yeah, I mean, their start to the schedule, once they had those games scheduled, week one was supposed to be Bad Axe, but they scheduled a pretty tough big team, Ogama Heights. Clarkson Everest, that was a good matchup. They needed that matchup. Close loss there, 21-14. It's not like any of their games have been blowouts yet, but they'll have Harbor Beach, and then they'll have Marlette. So, again, four straight games, I believe, starting off tough for Ubley. So, you know, it's going to be something for them to try to bounce back. Harbor Beach looking pretty good. Despite you know, some people might thought they would be middle of the pack, or at least top of the echelon in their league there, but man, Harbor Beach is playing pretty good ball to themselves.
Yeah, it was really nice of them to see here in week two them really find their identity. Week one, that's all you kind of ever heard everybody say was they just don't know who they are, whether they want to be the D team and run it, or if they want to go spread and use Benson Harper's athleticism. I think this Saturday against Cardinal Mooney, the success they had running the ball really showed them that, like, all right, we are a run-first team, and if that's what we're going to be, we're going to stick to it. You only see them attempt one pass Saturday, and they had 300 yards rushing. It was kind of a wide variety of everybody that contributed to it. And now, of course, when you're up 42-0 at halftime, the second string guys really come in the second half, but I mean, they show that they're capable of. This Harbor Beach team, you know, if they can stick with this identity of running the ball, they're a very dangerous team in the Greater Southwest, Black and in Division 8.
All right, so it's Ubley up against Harbor Beach in week three. This is, Ubley needs a win more than Harbor Beach at this point, obviously.
Yeah, this is a must win for Ubley. If you start 0-3, then you're looking at 0-4 in front of you, or less a formidable opponent. And then you start questioning, is their playoff streak going to come to an end so abruptly after winning the state title? This is a must win game. You talk to, you know, the coaches in Ubley, they say, we're all right. We just got to tighten up a few things. Got to get our block better. That's a big thing. But there's no panic in the coaching staff yet. They believe in this team. And they just said it's a lot of new pieces and a lot of new areas that they're going to have to just trying to find their footing still.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do the coaches feel? Because everybody else already has the pitchforks out. And I say, no. Let's find out what the coaches feel. And the kids themselves, if they're comfortable with the coaches, and the coaches are there to allow them not to panic, you know, just keep sticking to the game plan here, things should pan out okay.
Yeah, in both games, there was really one play that swung the game. Against Ogama Heights, there was a big 67-yard touchdown on a reverse after they had cut the lead to 7, and then against Clarkson Everest, there was a turnover that led to Everest getting the game-winning touchdown in the second half. That's two plays in both games. The difference right now being 0-2 and 2-0.
That close. Do you have anything for him?
I don't have anything for JB specifically. I do have a note. We kind of saw it last week leading up to the Armada and Croslex game with, you know, Croslex having that, you know, 19-game winning streak against Armada, and how Armada had made it a priority to beat Croslex this year. Ubley currently has a 5-game winning streak against Harbor Beach. And, you know, not that you ever need any added motivation for the backyard brawl, but I'm sure that's something that Harbor Beach is talking about and has been stressing. I'm sure the Pirates would love to take advantage of an Ubley team that, not necessarily down, but a team that, you know, isn't quite what it was last year, which, you know, still not saying much because they were state champions last year, so still a very good team. But
yeah, okay, we're gonna let you go. What are you harvesting, first of all?
Nah, I'm working fields, but we're doing dry beans right now.
Dry beans, okay, all right.
Edible beans. You eat your beans and
Taco Bell, they probably came from home.
All right.
All right.
Are there any are there any pumpkins?
I'm growing a Mexican bean for you.
Okay.
JB, what game are you doing this week?
I am going to Cassidy and Lakers, but I believe Phil and John are going to do the backyard brawl also.
Okay.
But I'm going to Cassidy at Lakers for a big rival game in the BCC White.
Okay.
Fantastic. All right, JB, we'll let you go. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
Take care, guys.
All right, good to hear from JB, but he was actually calling, if you could hear through all that mess, harvesting beans.
He had some very great insight on Ubley and Harbor Beach, and I hope the listeners could hear it.
I hope they could. I kind of did. But yeah, I just that's a key thing. Now, something that the Lions, that I think people like about Dan Campbell, hopefully the philosophy is, hey, nothing to panic here.
Right.
We know what we got to fix, you know?
Yeah.
Believe in your players. Stick to the game plan. And it's not like Ubley was blown out.
Right.
You know, two tough teams here to play it against.
Well, and the week one game on such a short notice, you know, Ubley really could have just said, hey, we're just going to
take
the week off. We'll take the win.
Take the win, yeah.
Right.
No, they didn't do that.
Right. So you got to give them credit for that. It's just the timing of the backyard brawl, you know, being this week at 0-2. Yeah. You know, the timing really couldn't be any worse, or, you know, maybe it couldn't be any better. You know, maybe Ubley, this is a week they figure it out, and, you know, a big rivalry win could really spring them to a lot more success to finish the season.
All right, we'll be right back here. We'll dive into more talk. In fact, we'll dive right into the Marlette Sandusky talk here.
Okay.
And we'll prepare for the 7 o'clock interview with head coach Denny Lester from Marlette Red Raiders.
Yep.
Last week, we didn't have a coach. We had a lot of week one recaps because week one are all mostly non-conference.
Yeah.
And it was so many games to talk about here. Now you've seen both teams play each other. Yeah. So, yeah. We'll be right back here. It's Thumb Sports Line on WMIC.
Hi, Todd Bowers with More Motors of Carroll. If you're looking for a great deal on a Super Duty 4x4, I have great news. We have several Super Duty F-250s in stock, all around $55,000. We have a couple of regular cab F-250s, a Super Cab F-250 with an 8-foot box, and a Crew Cab F-250 with an 8-foot box. They're well-equipped XL work trucks with rubber floors, again, all less than $60,000, and all equipped with four-wheel drive. We also have a great selection of F-150s, Ram 1500s, and Ram 2500s. We also have rows of Jeeps and Pacificas in stock. That's More Motors, locally owned since 1965. Come see why your friends and neighbors are driving the Carroll.
That's More Motors, just west of Carroll on M81, where your friends and neighbors get the real deal.
All across the Thumb and Blue Water area, there's one propane supplier that's ready to serve you. It's Kohler Propane, with locations in Brown City, Memphis, and Bad Axe. Kohler Propane, where they strive to keep your fuel bill down and provide you with the best possible service. They guarantee their propane prices for one full year. There's free tank inspection and free safety inspection, plus keep full and budget plans are available. If you are not a current Kohler customer, now's the time to make the switch and call Kohler's. Whether it's propane for your home's heating system or for your farm or business, they're ready to serve you. Remember, Kohler's covers the entire Thumb and Blue Water area. For information, call toll-free 800-572-2191. That's 800-572-2191. Or visit getkohlers.com. Remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
Tri-County Equipment is proud to sell and service the John Deere side-by-side Gator utility vehicles. The John Deere Gator UTV is second to none. Whether it's a traditional Gator side-by-side for work or a crossover vehicle for play, a Gator UTV can see everyone in comfort. Backed by a history of reliability, this engine was made to take on trails and serious payloads as you make the most of your lands. So take a seat, stretch your legs, and get comfortable, because the fun has only begun. The knowledge team at Tri-County Equipment can help you choose the Gator UTV that is the best option for your budget and needs. So stop in today at Tri-County Equipment, with 11 locations serving you in Sandusky, Marlette, Bad Axe, Carroll, Burton, Lapeer, Fenton, Saginaw, Birch Run, Reese, and Auburn Hills. See more on the website, tricountyequipment.net. Tri-County Equipment.
Game time is here, and EBS Broadband and Thumb Cellular are proud sponsors of Sanilac Broadcasting's high school sports coverage. They're local, family-owned businesses dedicated to keeping you connected, whether you're at home or on the move. For staying connected wherever you go, Thumb Cellular is your go-to cellular provider. With friendly service, top-notch devices, and coverage you can count on, Thumb Cellular has an unlimited plan to suit your needs. And it won't break the bank. And if you need smoother, faster internet, ABS Broadband has you covered. From work to gaming to streaming your favorite shows, ABS Broadband powers it all. Switch today and feel the difference it's built for everything you do. Want to save even more? Combine ABS Broadband with Thumb Cellular for a great partner services discount. Best wishes to all of the athletes in tonight's game. From ABS Broadband and Thumb Cellular, keeping you connected.
Sticking to the Big Thumb Conference with 11-player football, our game of the week. Thank you to Libby, the intern. Libby Tank keeping stats on this one. Marlette getting the win 54-44 over Sandusky. A classic 98-point score. I think I might have said 99 on air. I said on air, I can't add. I was not good at math. So... or English. Yeah, I need that for to work. So.
Yeah.
What a classic game there. We're going to talk to Coach Denny Lester in the next hour here. 54-44, 98 points scored, and at least 935. Add another 10 yards, near 950 total yards in this game,
yeah,
by both teams combined.
And the combined points is the highest scoring game in this rivalry. I would imagine the yardage has got to be, you know, a record as well,
yeah.
But a little bit harder to find information about that. But really, what an exciting game! Lots of big plays, lots of big moments, and really, you know, right out of the gate, it looked like Marlette was going to take control of this
16-0 lead,
yeah,
to start off.
Yeah. So really, credit to Sandusky to have that thing tied by halftime, because you go into the half and it's still anybody's game. But really, a lot of big plays on special teams proved to be the difference,
yeah,
which, you know, it benefited both teams because, Marlette takes advantage of the muffed punt,
yep,
from Sandusky. And later in the game, Sandusky takes advantage of...
Do you believe that was in the second half?
Yeah, yeah. Yep. And then, of course, the Jack Betts, you know, kickoff return for a touchdown.
87 yards
that one
for
was,
Sandusky.
That one was huge,
yeah,
because, Marlette really had the momentum at that point, and to just get right back on the board like that, that was huge for Sandusky.
And I barely saw Sandusky in their wing tee at all. I think they were mostly spread throughout the whole game.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then near the end of the game, the second half, I saw some bright spots in the spread. What I hope, maybe the quarterback sometimes got to take over, and he started to take over in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Bush running the ball as quarterback.
He was looking
downfield,
yeah,
but then when he didn't see anything, he says, before it collapsed on him, boom, he takes off, and he made some big plays and big touchdowns to try to keep him in this game.
Yeah, and he did a little bit better in the passing game as opposed to the Nouvelle game in week one. But, yeah, he really, his legs and, running with the ball. According to the Sandusky stats, he had 8 carries. 4 of them were touchdowns. So when you have that type of athletic ability at quarterback, that's going to be a huge threat. We saw a lot better stuff from Sandusky. Jackson Reinke had another good game.
Yeah.
That was good to see. His touchdown run was so impressive because it looked at, there was about five times during that run where it's like, okay, he's going to go down now. But
yeah.
No. Daniel Tovar.
He was shut down. Pretty much
in the second half, and this is something Denny might talk about a little bit, But he was a problem defensively in the first half for Marlette. But, you know, they made some adjustments at halftime. And, you know, but yeah, offensively, he didn't, you know, have as big of a performance as he did week one. But defensively, he did some nice things. But, you know, Tyler Bush, 4 touchdowns. That was awesome. But Wesley Chapin, you know, he was the player of the night. 5 touchdowns, 3 rushing, 2 receiving.
For Marlette, by the way. Yeah.
For Marlette, yep. Yeah. He also matched up with Jack Betts quite frequently defensively. And that's your senior. That's your guy.
Yeah.
And they went to him quite a bit. You know, the first touchdown pass, that was on 4th and 2, I believe, right around midfield. That was a huge play. And, you know, he had quite a bit of separation on that.
He scored twice on 4th down situations.
Yes.
Marlette did, yeah.
So on the first touchdown pass, you know, quite a bit of separation. That second touchdown pass to Chapin, though, you know, in the end zone, that was probably the most accurate pass that I've seen all season, and that came from Trey Lester. It really just dropped it in perfectly because Chapin was not open on that one. But the first one, he was quite open. But I thought the Marlette offensive line did a lot of nice things and really opened up some stuff for Chapin in the ground game. So
354 rushing yards for Marlette. We had 344, so we're only off by 10 yards, which is pretty good. Wesley Chapin had at least 140 yards, according to our stats. Trey Lester, 106 yards. Adam Wilcox, near 100 yards, had 98 yards. 3 players with at least 100 yards rushing for Marlette.
Not bad.
Rushing-wise. And then passing about 70-plus yards here for Trey Lester, the quarterback who really managed the game well.
Mm-hmm.
Wesley Chapin also had 70-plus yards receiving for Marlette and 5 touchdowns in the game. Special teams, we tried to keep track of that, but like you said, they did pretty good. Offensively, about 425 near total yards for Marlette. Sandusky, not bad. 295 total yards, according to our stats. Tyler Bush, at least 114 yards rushing. Jackson Renke, 108 yards as well. Scored a touchdown or two, I think, in the game. Passing-wise, 66 yards for Tyler Bush to throw. A lot of drop balls and incompletes here, but still they're trying to balance out that spread offense. And Daniel Tovar, at least 40-plus yards receiving. Not much rushing at all, I don't think. I don't think he had any rushing yards there. So, yeah, tough go there. Jack Betts, though, 87 yards really padded to his special team yards. He had a 44-yard return as well. Both teams muff punts. Both teams fumbled the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Who was going to capitalize? It was Marlette because of the fact that Sandusky was forced to punt a couple times also as well. So it was the win, 54-44 for Marlette over Sandusky. So this week, Sandusky 0-2, man. They will have up next very tough team in week 3, which will be against the Millington Cardinals. It'll be the week 3 they have Millington. Week 4 is when they have that they don't have a game.
Right.
So,
yep.
So up against Millington, boy, it's going to get tough. And Millington, you know, I'm sorry to say, although I heard rumblings that Millington is a little worried about Sandusky possibly. So,
and I think the biggest thing for Sandusky is, you know, you're 2 weeks in and we've seen substantial improvement every week from Sandusky.
Yes.
Because we've had the benefit of seeing them at the scrimmage. We caught a little bit at their game against Nouvelle, and then we saw them on Friday. You're seeing this team making major strides every week, and I think that's what's important for Sandusky. So,
all right, and you'll see a more detailed write up in this game in the San Lake County News as well.
Yeah,
and we'll be talking to Coach Danny Lester here very soon after our news and weather. So we're going to take our break now for that, and we'll be back with head coach Danny Lester to talk more about Marlette. Go ahead.
Before we bring Danny in, last week on the show, I mentioned that I was trying to figure out the first time these two played.
Oh, yes.
Do you have any guess for what year it would be?
Well, you had what? Earliest was 1935 is what you went back?
Well, since at least 1935, they've played every year except for COVID year.
Man, you want me to make a wild guess?
1905.
I was going to say the 1900s.
Yeah, yep. I'll be sharing some information about that on the San Lake County News Facebook page tonight.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so.
It's 1905 is when they first met.
1905, they played at the Sanilac County Fair.
They did?
Yep.
The very fairgrounds where it's at right now.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Well, I don't know that. Yeah. Okay. But the Sanilac County Fair.
Great. That's great info, man. It's historic. Yeah. All right. What were they known as then? They always the Red Raiders?
Back then, it was Marlette High School and Sandusky High School.
That's all it was.
You know, they didn't have time for mascots and good logos back then.
Who needs mascots?
Right.
So we'll be right back here. Thumb Sports Line. Welcome back to Thumb Sports Line on WMIC AM 660 95.3 FM. I am Eddie Fury, along with the true host of Thumb Sports Line, Mike Gallagher of the San Lake County News. Pick up his San Lake County News newspaper, news, sports, information that you need.
Even dogs love it.
They do. My dogs love the sports section.
Yep.
And if you're camping and you're at Wagner Park and you need some paper, take your San Lake County News. All right. We were talking about Marlette, Sandusky. Marlette getting the win, 54-44. Go through some scoring here in the first quarter, 8-0 at the 8:28 mark. Wesley Chapin, 47-yard rush for a TD. The two-point run by Ryan Ramirez. We forgot to mention him. Two-point conversions. Very important in a game like this.
Oh, he absolutely, yeah.
At least three of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, take 6 points right there, you know, 2-4-6 minus that. Game's a little bit closer. First quarter, 3:19 mark, 16-0. Wesley Chapin again with a one-yard TD. I should have put this guy on my fantasy football team. Two-point run by Ryan Ramirez. The drive started at Sandusky 25-yard line after a not-so-great punt by Sandusky.
Mm-hmm.
And
again,
so they,
special teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First quarter, 2:30 mark. Sandusky fumbles. Marlette defense recovers. Marlette scores again. Marlette actually fumbled it away. Sandusky recovered at the 46-yard line, and Sandusky got their first score at the 11:55 mark in the start of the second quarter. Tyler Bush, 3-yard TD run, 2-point run by Tyler Bush also. Very dynamic player. I think he's getting better and better each game in the spread offense. Second quarter at 10:32 mark. Sandusky muff a punt. Marlette recovers and takes over at their own 44. In the ensuing plays, they score Wesley Chapin, 48-yard TD reception via pass. Quarterback Trey Lester, two-point pass, good to Chapin. This play on fourth down and two, they went for it. It was like Dan Campbell out there coaching with Coach Lester. All right, 7:49 mark, Sandusky gets on the board. 24-16, 7:49 mark, Jack Betts, 87-yard kickoff return. Two-point run, good by Jackson Renke. And second quarter, Sandusky quarterback Tyler Bush tossing a Jackson Recky 43-yard pass. That was a nice pass, too, in stride there. Gets the touchdown. Jack Betts, a two-point reception via the Bush pass at the 5:14 mark in the second quarter. 24-24. It was tied right there. Marlette fumbles. Sandusky recovers but ends up punting it away. Halftime, 24-24. Third quarter, 32-24. Marlette starting from their own 34-yard line of the drive. Wesley Chapin again. 4-yard TD run. Two-point pass to Adam Wilcox. Third quarter, 6:32 mark. Sandusky punts to Marlette, who then muffs it away. Sandusky recovers and runs to Marlette 15-yard line. Next play, Sandusky QB, Tyler Bush, 15-yard TD run. What are you laughing at me?
You're going to run out of breath trying to.
I am. Two-point pass attempt, no good. It's like I'm reading the obituaries right now. Third quarter, 2:34, 40-30, Marlette, Adam Wilcox, 28-yard TD run, two-point pass to Wesley Chapin. 48-30 in the fourth quarter, Marlette in fourth and 11. Trey Lester, 22-yard TD pass to Wesley Chapin, two-point pass to Chapin again. Sandusky keeping it close, 48-36. Tyler Bush, 37-yard TD run, two-point pass, no good. Marlette, 54-36, the two-minute mark. Trey Lester, 9-yard TD run, and the two-point run was no good. With 48 seconds left, 54-44. Sandusky, Tyler Bush not giving up, 33-yard TD run, and two-point run, goodbye, Bush. And that's where we end. Time just ran out, 54-44. But by then, it was 10 o'clock. Travis was closed. It's all because of Marlette. Scoring 54 points on the line with us, head coach Danny Lester. How you doing, coach?
Good.
All right. I got on that scoring. That's a lot of scoring, coach.
Yeah, there was. It was a wild one for sure.
So, what made you want to move to the double wing offensive lineup here? Because pretty much that's what you use the majority. But I saw you at one point maybe go a little bit of spread, did a little bit of wing T, but you really stuck to the double wing here. What was the idea in bringing this in this year?
You know, we've been running it for a while now, you know. A few years back, we were a little down. The quarterback play wasn't what it needed to be in the spread, and we went to the shotgun double wing, and, it allows us to control the ball a little more, be physical up front. Not that you can't be in the spread, but, we've been running it here for, 5-6 years, and it's been successful. We've also been putting in the tee a little bit, and so working on that. And so we just, we like to be physical. We got a big offensive lineman up front, so fixing the stuff this week, and we were successful on the offensive side of the ball.
Coach, for the past couple seasons, you've had a pretty solid quarterback in Quentin Sarton, a pretty big playmaker for you guys. To be able to transition this season, having Trey at quarterback, obviously a kid that's probably grown up around the football team, how easy of a transition has that been, and what have you seen from him so far this season?
I never dreamed my son would be play quarterback, Mm-hmm. I was just an old offensive lineman. So it's
really could have fooled me, coach.
It's been so fun. We don't always see eye to eye. Sometimes I don't convey my messages in the nicest way, but we find a way to get through that. This is his third year on varsity. 2 years ago when he was a freshman, we only had 13 guys on the varsity, and we started working them in, some freshmen in, and I think that was the first game he started was against Sandusky 2 years ago. And that his freshman year, he got some run at quarterback a little bit in some games that we could put him in. Last year, he dabbled in it a little bit more. We put him at quarterback and split Q out because he's such a great receiver too. So I think he's been ready for the moment to take over the team and run it, and he's doing a great job. He throws a nice ball. He's different than Q. Q was a real physical runner, more than other quarterbacks, and Trey's a little shiftier. So. But he's doing a great job leading the team, and we just hope he just keeps continuing to grow into that position.
Yeah, he's still a tough kid, though, man. He took some hits out
he
there.
Did, yeah.
He
yeah.
stayed planted, and there was one pass I saw that I thought he stayed in the pocket. The offensive line did a good job. He moved up a little bit in the pocket a little bit to throw that pass to Wesley Chapin on his back foot. Still made the pass, and that's the athletic ability of Wesley Chapin, who just was all over the field for you. Not only in offense, but both sides of the ball for you. You got to be happy about the play he really, really put out there in week two last week against Sandusky.
For sure. Wesley, this is third year on varsity. He's a big, thick kid, and he's fast. He can move. And we've been challenging him to take that next step to be the guy for us, to be a physical runner. He's always had speed. He always wanted to try to outrun people. But he's got the build. He really reminds me of like a Connor Thomas in that way. He's got this big build, but he's fast. And he just had to get to that point where it plays like a senior does. And he's been so much more physical this year. And it's just been wonderful, And he's always been able to catch the ball and use his speed. But if we could get him to continue to run with the authority that we want, he's going to do great things this year for us, So we're putting a lot on his shoulders, but I think he can handle it, The Sandusky game for him is personal. Well, his mom and dad graduated from Sandusky, He's in Marlette now, and he's proud to say that he never lost to Sandusky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He could say that the rest of his life. He's got that on his daddy, and I'm sure he's going to let him know it over the years.
Adam Wilcox really contributed well in this game also, Coach. You got three good offensive players out there. And Ryan Ramirez, let's talk about him, not only on defense, but for him to get those two-point conversions, you don't really realize how important those two-point conversion runs are. That's 6 points you got for the team there, at least six or eight that he had. You take that away, this game has a different complex to it.
Yeah, Ryan wants to run the ball. He's a tough kid. He's physical. He's one of our best defensive players that we have. And, you know, when we go to the tees at halfback and he gets a little more run there. But when we go to our shotgun double wing, he's at fullback. And he's got to be a selfless player to go up there and kick out. And, I mean, you want to go and kick out Danny Tovar for four quarters? That's tough. Danny was unbelievable in that game. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a man. And we struggled to block him. And that's asking a lot out of a kid. And so I think when he had his opportunities on those two-point conversions, he was ready to cash them in.
And then to Adam Wilcox, again, another offensive player who had near 100 yards rushing-wise for you, too.
Adam is got unbelievable vision. He's fast, and he's got good feet. Last year as a sophomore, he got off to a rough start because he sprained his ankle, but he was behind two really good seniors in Izzy and Logan. And so he's waited his time, you know. His freshman year, both Izzy and Logan were out for games, so he rushed for 150 yards as a freshman in a varsity game. So last year was a little frustrating for him because he didn't get the run that he would like. And he's been patient, and now he's making the most of it, you know. And we got two years of him, and we're excited because he's got a lot of talent.
Coach, you've beaten Sandusky 4 years in a row now. That's the longest winning streak for Marlette since 1971 to 1975. what does this rivalry mean to you? And, you know, what are, you know, you've been the head coach of this program for, you know, quite a while now. What are some of your favorite memories of this rivalry?
They've had some really good coaches, we've had some wild games here, some back and forth games, and it doesn't matter how good the teams are. It can get interesting any year. And, coach against Brad Bays, for a long time, coach against Craig, and those two guys are great guys, great competitors, great coaches, really care about kids. And, this is the first time against Coach Palmer in this rivalry. So, you know, with Brad and Craig, they're great. I consider them great friends. They're great guys. So it was always great competing against them. And they just had some wonderful players. And that's what I think. I told Wesley, and I told all of our kids, in my mind, this is a game where you become a legend, in my mind, as a coach. And when you step up and you make plays and you do this and you do that, there's so many guys that are just burning my mind. Derek Hall, his senior year, we beat Sandusky 13-12, scored right at the end of the game. We went 6-3. Sandusky went 5-4 and missed the playoffs, and we made it. And that was our first time. So I think about Derek Hall, and there's so many guys that stepped up and made great plays over the years. It's just special, I was telling those guys going into that game, I had won 10 games against Sandusky and lost 11. I had to get back to 500, and they got the job done. So that was fun for me. And Wesley asked me, am I a legend in your mind? And I said, no doubt.
If he does it again next week, maybe.
Yeah, I told him, you got to play everybody like you're playing Sandusky.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I still can never forget Brad Schaub. Although I love the guy, he's done a game with me doing a Marlette game, for coming back and beating my Deckerville Eagles, too. So,
yeah.
Thanks a lot, Coach.
we didn't win very many against them.
Yes. Well, that was a great game, though. So, from week one, you know, the loss 24-8 to a good Manchester team here. What did you learn from week one already that trains over to week two that you felt maybe the team responded to after that game, some of the things he wanted to fix there.
That was, we really struggled offensively, so we changed some personnel. Manchester's a really good team. They're going to win 8-9 games. They're really good, senior loaded. And we competed in that game, and we were there. We handicapped ourselves so much. Really, in that third quarter, we had a touchdown callback. Who knows how the momentum goes? But what happened is they scored. Their home crowd got into it. It was rocking, and they just fed off of that, and we kind of wilted, And then this week, we get up. We're feeling good about ourselves, and then, make some mistakes, and Sandusky gets back in the game. I was mostly proud of our team because we didn't fold. The week before, we did kind of, and we're trying to get that mental toughness. We had that problem a little bit last year, we're keeping it close with Ubley. And, Peruski leaves them on an unbelievable drive down and scores right for the half, makes it 14-6 at the half. We just couldn't get it back after halftime. Harbor Beach at 6-0 going to the third. They score about 6 minutes ago in the game, go up 2 touchdowns. We just, we kind of wilted there. And that's what we're trying to get, We lost some great leaders, and we're young, We got 6 seniors and then a bunch of juniors and freshmen and a couple sophomores. And we just, we got to get to that point where we look and say, okay, this didn't go our way. What are we going to do to respond? And I thought we did that a little bit Friday night, and hopefully that just continues.
Okay, you don't want to look ahead. Let's look to week 3. You're at Unionville Seabane. They come off a pretty good win, 36-0 over Carroll Tigers. They're hungry, just as hungry as your team is. The focus at USA before week 4 at Ubley. I'll just whisper it. So
yeah. I don't even know about that. Josh does such a good job over there. Anytime you go on the road in our conference, it's hard. It's difficult. And we've gotten them the past 2 years. And we know that we're going to go over there and we're going to see their very best effort. The fullback is a really, really nice player. Their quarterback throws a beautiful ball. They're going to give us a lot of issues offensively. And they've been young the last 2 years. And we've been in the same situation. Now they're starting to grow up, and those kids are juniors. So it's going to be a huge challenge to go over there, because we haven't played with consistency yet. And so if we make those mistakes like we did last week, we're going to lose. So we got to take care of the football. we got to play better special teams, and we got to finish our tackling. I was really disappointed in our tackling Friday night. And so we've been working hard on that, and we'll continue the rest of the week and hopefully go over to USA and try to find a way to get a W.
Coach, obviously Wesley Chapin, big game Friday. Trey, big game. Tyler Bush, big game. Was there anybody on your team that, maybe didn't really show up in the box score, but you thought had a really good, important performance?
I thought we moved some guys around. I saw our freshman offensive lineman, Eli Bell.
Okay.
He stepped up, played really well for being a freshman. He's not perfect. Our sophomore tight end next to him, Owen, did a nice job blocking there. We moved R.J. Davis to guard, and he made a few mistakes, but he did a nice job. Up front, we did a nice job. We really struggled the week before, took it personal, and we did a much better job. So, pretty much our offensive line, if they continue to take steps and improve, I like where we're headed offensively.
And then this is just more of a general question, doesn't really have much to do with this season or the Sandusky game, but you were involved with the program back in the late 90s when, Marlette had gone 3 straight seasons winless. Do you ever kind of look back at, where this program was and where it's at now and, how involved you have been in the process at, bringing this program back to relevancy?
You say that we lost 37 games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
The first 2 of that losing streak, I was a senior.
Okay. I didn't know that part. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was a part of that. And, you know, I went to college and I commuted to college. I knew I wanted to go into education and I wanted to coach. And Terry Reed, they didn't have a junior high coach. And Terry Reed said, hey, I got a coach. He's going to be a good one. And Jeff Turpening was the head coach at the time. He had just taken the job. And he taught me so much about the game of football. You know, sat at his house and just talk and learned so much from Terp. And so, you know, I started coaching right off the bat. And so those 4 years that Terp had the program and we went 1-35, it was rough. It was tough. We were trying to do things the right way and we just couldn't get over the hump. And but I do think Terp laid some foundation there that we were able to build off of. You know, and then Coach Connor came in for a couple more years, and I was varsity assistant. And he showed me the ropes, and it's been a lot of hard work by a lot of good football players, a lot of great kids, a lot of great coaches, and we just try to continue to work hard. And we're when you're a small school like us, you're going to have some good years, you're going to have some bad years, and you want to limit those ones, but. As long as kids are coming out and they're working hard and putting some time and they learn some life lessons along the way, you know, we're going to be successful. Even though if we don't win or win or lose, we're going to be successful.
All right. Good luck the next game and through the rest of the season. We'll see you again at Harbor Beach also, Coach. And thank you. I mean, the stuff you send us is very insightful. The respect that you have for the media coverage and for other coaches and players as well. But to the staff there, always making us feel welcome. We come do a game at Marlette. And I want to thank you, of course, Coach Pennington and Zach Cady setting us up also. And just in general, just always welcome us and we appreciate you.
All right, I appreciate that. You know, you guys do a lot for the kids in San Juan County, Huron County, Tuscola County, and, I know all the coaches appreciate the coverage and the kids really enjoy it. And, we're happy to have you anytime.
Thank you, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
All right. Have a great night, guys.
You too.
Yep.
All right. That's head coach Denny Lester. Great conversation. We could go on and on with this
guy.
Always can go on and on with him. So, all right. He's got to have his TV dinner. Today's National TV Dinner Day.
Is it?
Okay. Yes. I haven't had one of those in a long time because that's married.
Right, it's good. Yeah, that's
you know, I made spaghetti yesterday.
It's a sign that you're doing well that you haven't had one in a while.
Yeah, Papa Fieri made his spaghetti. Buschetti, that's what my kids call it because they couldn't say it. It's wiped out. It's gone already. Usually there's leftovers because leftover spaghetti is really good.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I don't know how we went for spaghetti from Coach Lester, but that's where it went. All right, we got some more sauce for you, though.
There it is.
Coming your way on more Sportsline. And again, thank you to Coach Denny Lester and fantastic. I mean, for as long as I've been doing coverage in sports, he's right there.
Yeah.
Proponent.
Yeah, yep.
So, yeah, and he is. He's been really great for the school. He's one of the longest-running coaches. Troy Shelke, Bill Brown. I want to throw in Scott Carthrell now, but Denny Lester, probably top three longest-serving coaches right now.
Yep.
In our thumb coverage. So,
absolutely, yeah.
Always great to talk to him, too,
He,
about anything.
Not only brought relevancy to the Marlette football program, he also brought it to our show for about half an hour, so that was
Yes, that was probably one of the best
parts
of the show.
We appreciate that, yeah.
Other than Scott Bowlesby coming on air with
us.
So, yeah. All right, we will be right back, folks. More coverage here on Thumb Sports. I'm going to take a commercial break, check in with the weather forecast, and we'll dive into some Blue Water Area 8-player information as well. We're going to try to zip on through this and try to get Scott to be back on with us as well. We'll be right back here on Thumb Sports Line. Week 2 recaps and looking ahead to Week 3 also.
Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes 6 loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck. Your friends at Liberty Lane say, come on down and join our team.
Let's go, Bullets!
Register now for a fall bowling league. There are openings on ladies' leagues for Wednesday morning and evening, men's leagues on Tuesday and Wednesday evenings, and mixed leagues on Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday evenings. Beginners are welcome. Just stop in or call 810-648-9860. Also, openings on the waitstaff, so apply now.
Let's go bowling!
Liberty Lanes, West Park, Sandusky. The Thumb Area's top choice for great bowling for 45 years.
Game time is here, and EBS Broadband and Thumb Cellular are proud sponsors of Sanilac Broadcasting's high school sports coverage. They're local, family-owned businesses dedicated to keeping you connected, whether you're at home or on the move. For staying connected wherever you go, Thumb Cellular is your go-to cellular provider. With friendly service, top-notch devices, and coverage you can count on, Thumb Cellular has an unlimited plan to suit your needs. And it won't break the bank. And if you need smoother, faster internet, ABS Broadband has you covered. From work to gaming to streaming your favorite shows, ABS Broadband powers it all. Switch today and feel the difference it's built for everything you do. Want to save even more? Combine ABS Broadband with Thumb Cellular for a great partner services discount. Best wishes to all of the athletes in tonight's game. From ABS Broadband and Thumb Cellular, keeping you connected.
Welcome back to Thumb Sports Line on a Tuesday night, September 10th, 2024 edition. Let's dive right into eight-player football, right, Knox?
All right.
Mayville Wildcats clawing their way past Auburn Hills Oakland Christian 32-26. It was Oakland Christian leading 6-0 at the end of the first quarter. Mayville scoring 16 points in the second quarter to Oakland's 6, leading 16-12. 8 more points for Mayville in the third quarter, 6 for Auburn Hills Oakland Christian, making it 24-18. Auburn Hills Oakland Christian scoring 8, Mayville scoring another 8 points themselves. They get by with a 32-26 win. Mayville 2-0. Good win for Mayville, man, and they kind of needed that one. Kind of stay in a good tight hunt, what I think will be a tight hunt for a playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for eight-player football, because not many teams get in for eight-player football.
No, nope. And, you know, we've said it on the show before, Oakland Christian, one of those teams we don't really know too much about on a year-to-year basis, but looks like they're going to be pretty solid this year. So, good win for Mayville.
Yeah.
And who they got up next, Eddie?
Well, first of all, offensively.
Oh, sorry.
Passing-wise, balanced offense, by the way, for Mayville. 10 of 13 for passing, 139 yards and 2 touchdowns through the air. For the Mayville Wildcats, 31 carries were 197 yards against Auburn Hills Oakland Christian. 2 touchdowns on the ground as well. So, pretty good job. Balanced offense offensively for Mayville. Player stats, we do want to mention some players here. Luca Campbell for Mayville, quarterback. He is throwing the passes out there. Doing a good job on the passing and as managing the game. We want to point out rushing wise in 2 games already. Looks like he also plays quarterback as well, but I don't know if he played quarterback against Auburn Hills Oakland Christian. Was Gavin Wager or Wager? It's Wager, that is, for Mayville Wildcats. Does some rushing wise for Mayville. So far in 2 games played, he's got 16 carries, 190 yards, and 4 touchdowns. So pretty good job. I just like the balanced offense out there for this team.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah. All right. Also, we have... Oh, May, you wanted to know who Mayville's playing.
Yeah, who they got next.
Up next, for Mayville, they play in 8-player football, Big Thumb Conference. They play... In the blue division, right? There's a blue division in eight-player football?
Blue, yes. Blue and red, yep.
So they're in the blue division. And week 3, they will have Dryden. That's not an easy game. I saw Dryden scoring some points.
Yeah, and they had a nice win week 1 against North Huron. So
yeah,
it's good to see, you know, Dryden. they just recently brought back their football program. So.
Right. But they couldn't beat Dackerville. Dackerville winning 68-20 over Dryden. Hunter Garza, 130 yards, four touchdowns for the Dackerville Eagles. Also threw for 33 yards, two-point conversion, and an interception. Brandon Solowitz, though, rushing for 101 yards. I was going to wonder when he was just really going to break out here, and we saw it in this game against Dryden. He had a touchdown and a two-point conversion. Mark Donker rushing for 96 yards, a touchdown, two-point conversions. Parker Merriman rushing for 68 yards, two touchdowns. Parker McCoy rushing for 61 yards and a touchdown. Chase Lamont got his 33 yards and a two-point conversion. And Jesse Kabaki made a two-point conversion. Logan Shanks caught a two-point conversion. The Eagles improved to 2-0. We just talked about Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian. Seems like a pretty tough team. They gave Mayville a challenge despite Oakland Christian's loss. Dackerville seems to be running on all cylinders right now, though.
508 total rushing yards on 41 attempts. That's some classic Dackerville football right there. After what we saw from them offensively last year, going to the air a little bit more, you know, talking to Coach Brown before the season, they're still a running team. You know, that's what they want to, you know, base their success around. That's what they want. They want to be a run-first team. And, hey, when you can rush for 508 yards, why not? But yeah, it was great to see so many different names. You know, Garza, he had 130 yards, only five carries, and he scored on four of them. So, you know, that's pretty efficient. Nice to see Salowitz break out with 101 yards, and Donker as well, because he was a name we've been hearing, a name that we kind of heard last year as well. You know, great to see him have his breakout performance. And then Parker Merriman with the first two touchdowns of the game. So it's going to be an offense that's going to be pretty hard to stop, because who do you want to key in on? You know, what do you want to make sure that you stop? But Oakland Christian, that'll be a good test for them leading up to the big matchup with Brown City. So
yeah, that we will be doing that game in week four. We're projected to cover that game.
Yeah, I would.
Dackerville at Brown City.
Yeah, you know, that might be one of the best games of the season.
Now, remember, Brown City does not qualify for the playoffs, but they can take this league title if they want. How did Brown City do?
If they want.
If they want to, they can. But will they? You know,
we'll find out week four.
Brown City last week had a big win over Memphis, 56-12. Tell me about that game.
Yeah, that was one of the more dominant defensive performances that I've seen from Brown City since making the move to eight player. And, you know, they've been a good defensive team. But it was, you know, the offense did what the offense does. They were extremely efficient. They got up 30-0 in the first quarter. I believe it was 50, or I don't know if they... It might have been 50-0 by halftime. It was either, you know, it was either 50-0 or 42 or something like that. But the offense was extremely balanced. You know, you talk about Dackerville and having so many different rushers. Mm-hmm. You know, week one it was Ethan Worrell, you know, with five touchdowns. This week Ryan Binkley Potts was the leading rusher. He had a nice touchdown run.
He's been ready to break out. I mean, the last couple of years.
He's always been a top-notch defensive player, but they always have so many offensive weapons. But, you know, Brown City, you know, they were able to go to the air. They got a lot of different guys involved with the offense. So they're kind of in the same situation as Dackerville. Hey, who are you going to key in on? You know, you have so many different offensive weapons. But really, the defense was just so impressive. I don't recall if it was the very first play of the game, but it was either the first or the second play of the game. Brown City recovers a fumble, and immediately gets the ball to the offense. They blocked three punts in the game, and you know they were just flying all over. Memphis scored in the fourth quarter. They broke off a 65-yard touchdown run, and then they scored just as the game was ending. They punched one in late. So, 12 points, yeah, but I think, Memphis, they did some nice things. I think in the first half, they were trying to do a lot offensively. They were trying to do a lot of different things. In the second half, they kind of simplified things, and I think that really helped Memphis. But Brown City, you know, that's one of the more impressive games that I've seen from Brown City. And, you know, we've seen a lot of great Brown City games. So I thought they looked great. Lawson Cooper at quarterback, of course. He threw for over 100 yards, 3 rushing touchdowns. But Garrett Simpson, the backup quarterback, he's been getting involved with the offense quite a bit. And, you know, he's done some really nice things. So that just adds another element to this offense.
So I'm curious, when they put him in, where are they putting Cooper at?
Cooper actually caught a pass from Simpson last week. So, you know, that's kind of a scary thing to think about, you know, because Lawson is such a great athlete that you could throw him anywhere, really. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you put him at quarterback because he's your, you know, smartest player. He's ran the offense, you know.
I'm beginning to see that Brandon Salowich can himself do. Interchangeable.
So this offense, and really through 2 weeks, we haven't even seen the ceiling for this offense, I would say, or I guess the max potential of this offense, because when you're up, you know, 30-0 after the first quarter, you know, you're not gonna do all the things that you want to do. You're going to, you know, get other guys involved, and you're going to, you know, do some different things. But really just a great performance from Brown City. Memphis, you know, it's their first season of 8-player football. And there were some nice things that they did, I think. They did have some good size. Their running back did some nice things in the second half. Unfortunately, it's going to be tough sledding for them in this division. But I think, you know, they're going to be a team that if these kids stick with it, and if this coaching staff, you know, continues to try and do the things that they were trying to do against Brown City, they'll be all right. So,
all right. So also another 8-player, football, North Huron defeating Akron Fairgrove 46-0. Landon Ragutz rushing for 73 yards and a touchdown. I know I didn't say that name right. Ragutz for our Warriors. Caleb Antozuski rushing for 49. That's why they had the Kindy Polka Fest in Kindy there. Rushing for 49 yards, 2 touchdowns. Ellie rushing for 43 yards and a touchdown. Logan Rodriguez, what a day! Finally, we got some Mexicans in Kindy. 17 yards and a touchdown. Love you, brother. Griffin Shapinski, I know that one. 15 yards and a touchdown. Brandon Kozlowski, Hunter Crow, and Owen Millendorf each made 2-point conversions for North Huron. Tom Knobloch, 4 tackles and a sack for North Huron. And this week, North Huron in week 3. Oh, I have an MLS actually. I put it on my prep here at the very bottom. Akron Fairgrove will have CPS. North Huron will host Ashley. And speaking of Ashley, they defeated Carsonville Port Salac 22-18. Oh, so close for CPS Tigers.
It's an encouraging result, though. And it seems like CPS, you know, battled for the whole game. They actually led in that game late. So it's good to see. They have, you said, Akron Fairgrove this week.
Yeah.
Hey, go get that win. You know, you got this is your chance. You had some encouraging things against Ashley. Now it's time to, you know, break through and get that win.
All right. So they'll have Akron Fairgrove, as I said, and also the Bay City All Saints bouncing back with a week 2 win over Caseville, 62-0, and that game for the All Saints. Bouncing back from the week 1 loss to Deckerville. Yeah. So, yeah. All right, and we have Kingston to talk about. They win 58-20 over KPAC. We'll be right back. I do believe Scotty covered that game.
Yeah. Yes, he did. Yeah, Kingston KPAC.
All right, so we'll be right back and see if we can get him back on the phone dial to talk about that game when we come back here. This is Sportsline. We'll be right back.
Game Time is here, and EBS Broadband and Thumb Cellular are proud sponsors of Sanilac Broadcasting's high school sports coverage. They're local, family-owned businesses dedicated to keeping you connected, whether you're at home or on the move. Need smoother, faster internet? EBS Broadband has you covered. From work to gaming to streaming your favorite shows, EBS Broadband powers it all. Switch today and feel the difference that's built for everything you do. And for staying connected wherever you go, Thumb Cellular is your go-to cellular provider. With friendly service, top-notch devices, and coverage you can count on, Thumb Cellular has an unlimited plan to suit your needs. And it won't break the bank. Want to save even more? Combine EBS Broadband with Thumb Cellular for a great partner services discount. Now sit back and enjoy the game. And good luck to all of the athletes in tonight's game.
Back here on WMIC. Still talking eight-player football. I made a mistake on the Mayville note. It was Wager, who is the quarterback for Mayville. Two games, 14 completions out of 18 attempts. So far through two games, 306 yards and five touchdown passes. So Gavin Wager is the player. It is, I mentioned the other name, Luca. Yeah. He has the receiving.
Okay.
Campbell, yeah. So two dynamic players there. Rushing-wise, Wager has about 190 yards rushing for Mabel. He's the leading rusher through two games so far. All right, we left off on eight-player football. We will dive into the KPEC-Kingston matchup, and Scott Bowlesby covered that game, I believe. 58-20 was the win for Kingston over the KPEC Chiefs. Scotty B., how you doing?
Hey, well, I'm doing all right still. Just enjoying your guys' interview with Coach Lester. I was very good interview.
That was pretty good, yeah.
And very excited to see them this coming week.
Yeah, when will you see them? This week?
Yeah.
Friday, Marlette, USA. Yep, that's the game we chose, and the game I chose. And, I'm excited. It's homecoming up there, so USA will be buzzing, and Marlette's going to look to spoil the party.
Yeah, I like how Coach Danny Lester, despite the trials and tribulations that USA's had, he says you just can't turn the ball over against a team like USA who take every advantage. Coach Hahn, he seems to think that Coach Hahn has a pretty good lineup there that will and can take advantage if they turn the ball over. You just can't do that against USA at this point. So I like the respect he's showing there.
Yeah, no, USA's completely kind of turned the tables, kind of did a 180 so far this season. They took a loss early on in the season to MLS, got a big win last week against Carroll, and but even in the MLS game, they were moving the ball. Finkbeiner was doing a great job, and Brady Green doing a good job up there, Davis Peters. So they got some playmakers up there, and I'm excited to see what they can do this week because this will be a good matchup early on for both squads.
All right, Kingston Cardinals, who we thought might take a slight step back. They didn't. Although it was 0-0 at the end of the first quarter, Kingston explodes for 30 points to KPEC 6 in the first half, leading 30-6. 14 more points scored in the third and fourth quarter for Kingston to win 58-20 over KPEC. What was it about this game that Kingston was able to find and dig in deep after that first quarter to explode in the second quarter and into the second half?
Yeah, so the first quarter was, like you said, it was a stalemate. Kingston got the ball deep. They couldn't punch it in for the score. KPEC got the ball back and then fumbled it at the 1 yard line, I believe it was. And then Kingston was able to punch it in after that. And it just seemed like after they finally got things clicking, they started figuring some stuff out. They figured out some offensive schemes. They did a little I formation, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. They just went out there and once they found that groove, they really got into that groove. And, obviously nobody's going to be able to replace Owen Corliss from last year, but, Tanner James rushing for five touchdowns. He's a tough, hard-nosed runner. He's the quarterback, but, he can air it out as well, but they didn't really have to. I mean, he was 9 of 16 for 148 yards, which is still pretty good. Colin Corliss caught a good bulk of those, but it was more the run game that got them. Another rail running. He ran for over 100 yards, I believe.
And then Logan Wilcox also got in on the scoring late. So it was really a, it was definitely, like I said, once they got clicking, it just kind of rolled for them. Very interesting thing. At the end of the first half, there was a fumble by K-Pac. Kingston picked it up, ran it back to about the 40-ish yard line, tried to do a pitch back, was able to find one of their players. He got it for about a yard or two. Then he fumbled it. Ball was on the ground. Everyone's battling for it. And then Nick Cummings from Kingston, comes and scoops it up and runs it back for the touchdown. So just a very wild play to end the first half. And I think that took a lot of wind out of K-Pac's sails to finish the half like that. But yeah, like I said, Tanner James, he's not Owen Corliss, but he airs it out a little bit more. He can scramble. He's got some speed on him. He's a little bit bigger than Owen, so he's not afraid to lower the boom. So, I think, Kingston did take a slight step back as far. I mean, obviously, when you lose that many seniors, you do. But, they're going to still be very competitive all throughout the season. This is a team that obviously has its sights set on the postseason. And I think Deckerville this season is a better team, but I still think they're going to put up a fight against Deckerville. And I think that they're ready to go toe-to-toe with any team right now.
I think we forget that despite them being juniors, that Nick Rail and Tanner James have a couple years' experience on the varsity level also. So they've got the experience out there.
Yeah, no, and Tanner, he had to start as a freshman against Deckerville in the postseason, and he was like a deer in headlights, but he's completely, he's grown. He's got that experience now. He's now taking, snaps at quarterback. Nick Cummings is another kid. He's just fast. He touches the ball. They try to give it to him any chance they can. He can also play quarterback as well. So he was lining up there a couple times. Tanner's, he's got the experience. Nick Rail, Nick's not doing cross country this year, just focusing solely on football. So he's kind of put his chips all in for that. And like you said, Tanner, he's got experience at different positions. He's played a little quarterback. So like you said, they're young, but they've got some experience under their belt.
Credit to Nick Rail, he exploded, 16 carries, 104 yards, and got a touchdown. Rushing-wise for Kingston in their win over K-Pac. Respect to K-Pac out there also. They had 251 total yards, 123 yards passing, 128 yards rushing-wise also. So, despite the gap in the scoring, Kingston still couldn't sleep on this K-Pac team.
No, not at all. And that was the thing, is that one of my kids broke in. Sorry.
It's okay. It's all right.
That's the thing, is that with K-Pac is they had a couple of big plays that scored points for them. And that was a big thing, was those big chunk plays. And that was something Brandon said in his notes that he sent me. I was trying to find him real quick. But he was basically saying that's something that they need to stop going forward, is allowing those big defensively, we got to get better at eliminating the big plays. There was about, I think there was two big plays. I think it was like a 56-yard touchdown run and then another big pass play that scored two of the touchdowns for K-Pac. So they have athletes. That was the thing, is K-Pac, they were big. They have some talent. They're going to win some games this year. But they just couldn't really, eat away at the clock. They couldn't really chew away at the yardage. They had some really big plays, and those scored the touchdowns. But, I got to give them credit. They hung with Kingston for a little while there, coughed up the ball in the first, and that turned around and got the touchdown. And just some, mistakes here and there, some penalties and here and there things. But, obviously Kingston, the better team. And, credit to K-Pac because they went out there and they definitely did battle.
Yeah, that was Alan Uribe Arce, 52-yard run to get the first score for K-Pac, and then a 56-yard pass. And the third quarter for K-Pac. So, yeah. All right. As we transition real quick here into the Blue Water Area Conference, North Branch, again, running roughshod as we dive back into 11-player football. Man, they're just putting up the yards. They'll be at Embley City this week also. I think they'll put up some yards and points against this team also to possibly move the 3-0 based on what Embley City's done. Although Embley City scored some points against Elmont last week, so, you know, put that nice little exclamation mark for North Branch. But North Branch, man, good job there and good for the head coach there so far.
Yeah, I mean, you know, talking to Coach Sikora before week one, he said, I have a real good feeling that Mikey Gorman is going to break the single-season touchdown record at North Branch. And I'm pretty sure he's on pace to do that right now. He broke the single-game touchdown record with six the other night against Elginac, 187 yards on the ground. And then against Carroll, he had 157 yards and three touchdowns. So 2 games in, he's at 9 touchdowns for the season. I don't know what the record is, but I got to assume that he's well on pace to break that. So things going good for North Branch right now. And on the defensive side, it's just unreal. They shut out back-to-back teams, Elginac, Carroll. And, yeah, there's a good chance they can keep it going. But Embley City did score against Elmont. You know, I kind of brought that up the other day to you guys. And Mike said, well, you know, they did put some points up against Elmont. But there's a good chance that North Branch can extend that, you know, shutout streak. But, yeah, you know, I saw the Spartans in a scrimmage, and I thought they looked pretty good this season. I thought that they had some talent, and I thought, you know, they're going to win a couple games this year. But, you know, starting off 0-2 right now, you know, but if you're North Branch, you obviously, you don't want to come out and say it, but you're feeling like, all right, let's keep that that shutout streak going. But so you gotta be on your toes this week against Embley City, and you know, I'm sure Coach Sikora have them ready. It seems like they're prepared to go, and you know, it's not bad when one of your starting linemen is visiting schools like Michigan State and Notre Dame in the first 2 weeks of the college football season. So. Yeah, that's got to be a nice added bonus there for North Branch with Eli Bickle. But Mikey Gorman, another big game for him. And I don't know, they're going to have to figure out, whoever's playing them, they're going to have to figure out some way to shut him down and some way to defend they're going to find somebody or two people to go up against Eli Bickle to try to get around him to get to Mikey.
Yeah, and North Branch is at Embley City. Back to A-player football. By the way, Kingston's at Memphis. Brown City is at KPEC as well in those games. Scotty B, I'll let you go. The kids want you. They want Papa.
Apparently. I don't know where that came from. I didn't think I was that popular around here with Mom home, but I guess I'll take it. Real quick, I don't know if you guys mentioned it. Mayville's playing Dryden Thursday.
We mentioned they were playing, but we did not mention
Thursday. It is I have it down as Thursday also.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So maybe
okay.
At Dryden.
I'll be down there. So
yeah.
Cool.
We'll have some coverage of that on Saturday. So
awesome.
Nice. All right. Great. In the paper on Saturday. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So we'll have that. All right, guys. Take care.
Dryden's still kind of a question mark for us because, you know, they've done some nice things, but, you know, it'll be good to have someone get eyes on them.
Yeah, no, and that real quick, you know, that putting up some points against Deckerville early on, I guess that maybe that surprised some of us because, you know, Dryden's kind of been, you know, well, they weren't around for a while and then they come back. And so, I think it'll be a good kind of measuring stick. It'll be a good, you know, road game for Mayville.
Yeah.
And they had a tough battle against Oakland Christian and, you know, Carsonville Fort Sand, like week one, they moonwalked through that one, I guess. It was kind of over at halftime, but, you know, so they haven't really, you know, week 2 they were tested, but I think this will be another nice test for them early on. So I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, and earlier we were talking about Mayville, and that was a good win against Auburn Hills Oakland Christian, a pretty good balanced offense win for Mayville Wildcats.
That's a gritty win, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Absolutely, and that's Mike Campbell kind of win, that gritty win where they just they go punt blow for blow, and they land the knockout punt. So that's. Yeah, shout out to Coach Campbell and the Mayville Wildcats.
All right, Scotty, thank you for coming back.
All right. Yep, take care, guys.
Thank you.
All right, folks, and pick up the Tuscola County Advertiser. That issue is also out on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but you'll see coverage on Mayville Dryden game on Saturday's edition, so I'm pretty happy about that. Nice to see a Saturday, you know, write up on something there.
Absolutely,
so very cool.
Yeah.
All right. We started off on and ended with a little bit of BWAC there. Talk about North Branch. We got some other Blue Water Area Conference games. Our game of the week, Mike, your game of the week also.
I'm
you think?
Quite sure that's where I'll be this week.
Okay.
Yes. Yep.
But if you choose to move somewhere else, because you got Millington Sandusky historic game there. I know you covered Sandusky already.
Right, yeah. Right. At the beginning of the season, you got to try and, you know, get as many teams in as you can. I'd really like to see Croslex. Yeah. So
that's our game of the week also. It will be Richmond at Croswell. We're going to talk about the BWAC teams more to wrap things up here on Thumb Sports Line. We'll be right back. Top of the hour news and information coming your way, 8 o'clock hour.
Celebrating over 50 years on the air, this is AM 660 WMIC Sandusky and 95.3 FM W237 EQ Sandusky.
Soundlike Broadcasting invites you to dive into the pages of Michigan's history with Thumbing Through the Archives. Join the Mikes and Erica as they take a gander at some of the state's most gripping cases from local counties far and wide. We've done our research and are ready to share it with our listeners. By the end of it, you're sure to be smitten by the midden. From the devastating wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald to even the mystery of the Swarling murders, we definitely have an episode that should tickle your fancy. Catch new episodes of Thumbing Through the Archives every Wednesday from 5:30 to 7 p.m. right here on WMIC 660 95.3 FM.
Welcome back to Thumb Sports Line on a Tuesday as we get into the Blue Water Area Conference. I am Eddie Fury. Some Cody Rhodes music there to bring you back in. I have yet to finish watching Monday Night Raw. Of course, that was last night. I was interested in some Monday Night Football. Aaron Rodgers, nice to see him healthy back out in the field there, but they lost.
That's nice to see.
To see Aaron Rodgers lose?
Yes.
He's 40 years old, man.
Hey, even though he's not a Packer anymore, there's still
Yeah, I remember when the Lions beat him, too.
That was awesome.
That was pretty sweet back then, yeah. All right, that was then, this is now. All right, Blue Water Area Conference. I will blaze through some stuff here that I was able to gather around. Let's start off with the Almont Raiders. Luke Winkler running for 2 touchdowns to lead Almont, who moved to 2-0 state finalists, losing in state finals last year, but hard to get back there twice in the last, within 4 years, I do believe. So, yeah, very cool. He returned a punt for 55 yards for a score. The Raiders winning over Emily City 45-15. And Emily City was led by quarterback Matt Evans, 8 of 15 passing, 105 yards and 1 touchdown, something that North Branch may want to look out for.
That's encouraging to see from MLA City, yeah.
Yeah, we want leagues to be healthy, where it just makes it so hard to figure out, which I think the BWAC is going to be kind of hard to pick out here. So, you know, it's a lot of question marks that have been raised here.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely.
45-15 win for Almont Raiders over MLA City. Great win for them, and now they will take on Yale. Play pretty tough, but you can't turn the ball over against the Richmond Blue Devils team, and that doomed the Yale Bulldogs 28-14. Yale's quarterback Andrew Hubbard passed for 183 yards, had an interception, 4 fumbles though for Yale. They had 260 total yards, 183 passing yards, 77 rushing yards. You just can't fumble the ball. Cole McLaughlin from Yale had 2 touchdowns in the loss against the Richmond Blue Devils, who had 312 total yards, just 39 yard passing yards, 273 rushing yards. They did have 2 interceptions themselves, but there were 6 of 8 on third down. The Bonetti brothers out there, quarterback Anthony Bonetti, scoring 2 touchdowns, 1 passing and 1 rushing for the Blue Devils, who improved to 1-1, bouncing back from a close week one loss to St. Clair. Now, they will take on the Croswell-Lexington Pioneers, who lost to the Armada Tigers. historic moment for the Armada Tigers in this win over Croswell.
Yeah, first win in 19 years, I believe, 19, 20 years. So long time coming. Real quick on Yale, that's a tough one because now you're sitting at 0-2.
Four fumbles.
Yeah.
And you can't do that in the red zone.
Right. And you still have all the big dogs in the BWAC still ahead of you on the schedule. But, you know, we knew that this team was graduating a lot of players, a lot of talent. So, you know, they're still kind of figuring things out. And, you know, that's still a team to watch because you know that they have the ability to pull off an upset. But nice win for Richmond going in to Yale and winning that game. And so I think Richmond winning that game, you know, really makes this game against Croslex quite a bit more intriguing. So,
yeah, tough loss here for the Croswell Lexington Pioneers. This was on their home field, too.
Mm-hmm.
14-0 loss for Croswell. Looking what Armada Tigers did, what they had to do, you know, snapping that 19-game losing streak, they were only 18 yards passing. Just 18 yards passing. Rushing, 46 rushing attempts, 221 yards, two touchdowns. Jake Malberg, we're going to be bringing him his name up a lot this year, 176 rushing yards for the team. It was 0-0 after the first quarter, second quarter. It was Armada getting a touchdown, and then they scored again in the fourth quarter to kind of, you know, protect that lead and get the key win. The running game working well here for the Armada Tigers. Croswell Lexington, you know, tough loss here. Yeah, I mean,
tough.
This is a team, you know, you got to look out. They're on the horizon here.
Yeah,
they're about to cross over.
Tough loss, but to hold Armada to 14 points, I think that's something that you can really take out of the game as a nice thing. I think that's something that Croslex is going to lean on this year is their defense, and it's great to see that because we know that Armada is a great offensive team. So I think you have to take that out of the game if you're a Croslex fan. You know, that's an encouraging thing, and you know, we knew going into the season, this offense was going to be different. They were losing a lot of key playmakers. You know, they were kind of in the same boat as Yale, you know, losing such a great offensive senior class. You know, so being only week two against a team like Armada, yeah, you don't like to get shut out, but this is an offense that's still kind of figuring things out and finding its way. So I think this is a great opportunity for them to get things back on the right track against a team like Richmond. And, you know, that's not to take anything away from Richmond. But, you know, for Croslex, you got to figure it out pretty soon because you got North Branch coming up in week four, and you still got Elmont on the schedule. So tough loss, yeah, but I think some encouraging things that you can take from the game. So
Armada, I obviously did a pretty good job clamping down on John Herman, who was our week one 11 player of the week. Back in week one, he had 31 rushes for 214 yards and three touchdowns. Here, Armada just doing a good job defensively shutting them down. I think the experience against Marine City, who bounced back big in week two after their loss to Armada in week one.
Yeah, Marine City's still good. Yeah. Don't worry.
But, you know, we found out that Armada's pretty good. So somebody just texted me, how many total yards did Elmont have? 367 total yards for Elmont, by the way. Another 239 total yards for Imlay City as well.
Eddie, I don't want to alarm you or the listeners, but there is a bat flying around in the hallway, so we might want to wrap this thing up.
Is it
soon
flying?
Here.
Okay,
it's scaring me.
Yeah, it comes in from time to time.
Yeah,
and I'm glad you notice it. Now, when I walk in the morning, I won't be surprised.
Yeah, that's how you know it's getting to be a late show. The bats have come out.
All right, so that means we're right here at the end of the show.
Oh man,
that is going to be our game of the week. Richmond Blue Devils, who are coming out with the bats here tonight at the Croswell Lexington Pioneers. I heard they got a new press box on the other side. You can close that door.
I will close that door, yeah.
So, yeah, we have a bat flying in, and this is the third time this year so far. in the warm season. So, yeah. And there's actually another door there. If it flies that way, then we have to shut that door too. So, but actually, I'm going to try to catch and shoo it out, which is going to be impossible probably.
Yeah, and I'm going to get in my car and leave.
Are you just as scared of them as I am? So,
oh, it's a big one, yeah.
Did you leave the back door open? And they must have fallen right in. It's coming in through our old walls here, probably. So
don't blame me. Yeah,
all right, so it's Richmond Blue Devils at the Crosby Lexington Pioneers. That is our game of the week for this week. I'm seeing the reflection. Did it fly back there?
It's in that other room, yeah.
It's in this room?
Yeah.
Oh, good. We can trap it in there. You need to shut the door over there then. So, yeah. All right. Hopefully it stays in there. I can trap it in there. So
yeah.
All right. So at that note here, we will say our game of the week, Richmond Blue Devils at Crosby Lexington Pioneers, 6:30 p.m. Join us for that on 92.5 WBGV and streaming online at sandlightbroadcasting.com. Yes.
I do have a couple things.
Yeah.
We got so excited to talk to Scott Bowlesby about Kingston football.
Yeah.
The Peck Pirates. Coach Andrew Morrison picking up his first win of the season, or his first career win, actually, I should say. They defeated New Haven Merritt Academy 50-20 last week.
Okay.
Cal Hyden, 7 of 13, 155 yards and 3 touchdowns. Thomas West, 4 catches, 140 yards, 2 touchdowns. He added 7 tackles and an interception on defense. And then Cam Watson, 17 carries, 128 yards, 3 touchdowns. And Grady Welsh, 3 sacks defensively. They will be playing Caseville on Saturday for homecoming. That is a 1 o'clock kickoff. And, you know, we talked about it in week one. Hey, that's a tough matchup with Brown City to start the season. But once you get into your divisional play, this team is going to be all right. They have a great opportunity to start the season at 2-0. And, hey, you're right in the thick of things as in terms of a conference title. So,
apologies to Peck there, even though you're from Peck.
I'm trying not to take it personally,
yes.
But no.
That's your responsibility.
Also, on that note.
But we got it in. We just got it in.
Yes. So, okay. Yeah. I will never let us forget about the Pirates.
Okay.
Also, on that note, though, over the weekend, the Peck Hall of Fame committee had a meeting. We have selected our first class. We will be releasing that in the upcoming weeks, but I can confidently say that we've put together a pretty solid class, I'd say. So I will be sharing more information about that in the future.
Are you sure? That you picked a good class?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think so.
Did you make the cut?
Well, that's how I know it's a good class. Oh. I didn't get in.
Okay. All right. So I think we got all the team talk in. So right now, this is the time where we look through the week 3 games. This will be posted tomorrow afternoon up on the website. But I've got them right here. Week 3 action. Of course, our game of the week. Yes.
Before we start,
yes.
I'm not saying I want to do the picks again.
Okay, you don't have to.
But I do want to say I only got 2 wrong last week. So,
good job.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Just saying.
All right. Our game of the week, it's Richmond at Croswell. Game of the week on WBGV 92.5 and streaming online at sandlightbroadcasting.com. Shout out to Jeff Kozel, the athletic director at Croswell. They got a new press box up.
Yeah,
on the other side.
Nice.
Yeah.
Looks nice, yeah.
So that happened back in February, according to a picture I saw on the Facebooks. All right, other Blue Water Area Conference games, North Branch at Emily City, Yale at Elmont, Armada at Algonac. You don't want to do any picks, though, right?
Nope, that's all right.
Big Thumb Conference, historic game here, Millington at Sandusky.
Yeah. You know, this is a team they matched up in the playoffs in the early 2000s, I believe. But outside of that, have not really played each other, so...
Marlette is at Unionville Seaboing. Scott Bowlesby of WIDL 92.1. Let's Talk Sports in Tuscola County Advertiser will be covering that game. He'll also be covering the Mayville Dryden game tomorrow.
Yes, not for the radio, but
right.
He'll be there for
the paper.
Newspaper coverage. Yeah.
Ubley at Harbor Beach, the Backyard Brawl. That'll be on Thumbtugger Sports Channel 2 and WLBW Sports. Vassar is at Reese in the Big Thumb Conference action as well.
That one's pretty intriguing, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. I think so. Vassar had a nice win week one, and then they suffer a tough loss. And for Reese, it was the opposite. They suffer a tough loss week one and bounce back with a nice win. So, it'll be nice to see which direction these two programs are going to go.
Cass City Redhawks at the Elkton Pigeon Bay Port Lakers. That's on Thumbtail Gitter Channel 1. Vassar is at Reese as well. That's a Big Thumb Conference. That's it right there. All them. Because,
there we go.
Carroll's not playing because Bad Axe doesn't have a team.
Right.
Eight-player football. Big game here, I think. Interesting. Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian at Dockerville. Brown City is at KPAC. Kingston at Memphis. Carsonville, Port Sandlack at Akron Fairgrove. All right.
Go Tigers.
Caseville at Peck. Ashley at North Huron. New Haven Merritt Mustangs at Bay City All St. Cougars. And we have Mayville at Dryden this coming Thursday for all the football junkies.
I don't know if you have it on your notes there, but that Caseville Peck game is Saturday. So,
is it?
Yes.
I will put that on there now.
A 1 o'clock Saturday homecoming game.
All right. All right. And then Lions football back here on. It'll be on WBGB, folks. WBGB, because of the Tigers playing in the afternoon. Tigers trying to get a wild card spot.
They're winning big right now.
They are? Okay.
They're big on the Rockies.
That game right now is on WTGB there at Comerica Park for that three-game series. All right. There you go. Thank you for tuning in to Thumb Sports Line. Mike Gallagher, thank you. Pick up his paper, St. Lake County News, early Wednesday morning. If you have the online e-edition, you'll be up by midnight.
Yep.
So get the online edition. I have it. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you to the Thumb Sports Writers Media Association. Next week, we will have Clark Ramsey.
Yes.
On next week. We'll also have Scott Bosey back on. We'll have Jonathan Bisher to talk about the Cassidy Lakers game as well. And, of course, Mike Gallagher and myself will be back. I don't know how long, because you have a game possibly on volleyball.
Yeah. We'll have to figure that out this week, what we want to do. But, yeah, we'll get it figured out.
All right, thank you for tuning in to Thumb Sports Line on WMIC, AM 660, 95.3 FM. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Eddie. Thank you, Denny Lester.
Yes, our Coach of the Week interview from Marlette Red Raiders.